It's been a while since we learned the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Ches.
We need a little review.
So a little bit of review, and we're going to divide the Mishnah into a Reish and a Seifa. The Mishnah sets up the halacha of Nesinas Tam, which means that when milk falls into a hot pot of meat and it hits a specific chaticha that's, let's say, according to Rashi, partially at least above the rotev, once there's an asinus tam, let's say that the ratio between the cholov and that basar is 1 to 59, let's just say, then that chaticha becomes asura. In other words, the chaticha is isolated and separated from the balance of the contents of the kedera because it's above the rotev. Tosus holds it's completely above the rotev. That's the ratio. Now the Seifa seems to be addressing the relationship between that chaticha and the rest of the kedera in a situation of niyar, otherwise known as Megis or Hagasa. And the Mishnah tells us now that there's a very serious relationship here between that chaticha and the balance of the kedera after niyar, which would mean that if that one single tipas cholov engendered an iser in that chaticha that's above the rotev, that chaticha now, in stage 2, which is after Nier, is going to affect, in a very negative way, the balance of the kedera. And that's called Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam. So we had two Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tams in the Mishnah. The Reisha is Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam, and the Seifa is Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam. The Reisha was a Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam in terms of the relationship, the ratio between the Tipas Cholov and the Basa, that particular Chaticha that's above the Rotev. And the Seifa is a Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam is the relationship between that Chaticha once it became Asura by virtue of the Tipas Cholov, because there was no Shishim. Now, that Chaticha in turn infects the rest of the Kedera because Yesh Bar Beno Sein Tam. And the link between the two, as which is again physically, it's a result of Nier, but conceptually, it's excuse me, the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, which we're going to try to analyze not just this morning, but over the course of time, and that means that the original Chaticha, once it became Asura, now has the power to generate an Isur in other Chatichos. So, you know, it's a really strange kind of situation in which you started with one Tipas Cholov and you end up with an Isur on the entire Kedera. Why? Because let's say the Kedera has 59 pieces of meat, whereas one piece of meat became Asura as a result of the Tipas Cholov in the Reisha, and now Nier is going to generate an Isa on the entire Kedera. Now let's just review some of the things that we spoke about as we saw the overview here in the Moreshes Moshe. So this is going to be sort of like a blitzkrieg chazar, because what we want to really get up to today, Ritz Hashem, is the Sugya of Rav. Okay, and Rav will lead us to the Sugya of what's called Efshel Sokto Asa, Efshel Sokto Mutter. So that's our real goal for today. But I just felt it was very important to do a review here before we go on. And we have the following. We said that the relationship between the Reish and the Sefer is near. And here we have three Shitos and Rishonim. Rashi Shita is near miyad. What does that mean, near miyad? Immediately after the Tipas Cholov fell on the Chaticha, And before the Tipas Cholov had even a chance, an opportunity to infect that Chaticha, so the Chaticha has not yet received the Tam from that Tipa, because immediately he did an act of Niyar through which, or by means of which, he spreads the impact of that Tipas Cholov throughout the entire Kedera. And we mentioned that the Aruch HaShulchan says that in order to test this, the waters on this, what's the parameter of this Miyad of Rashi, it's Nikar Roshem HaTipa Al HaTicha. In other words, if you look at the top of the Chaticha, you still see the Tipa. So the Cholov is still, shall we say, hovering over the Chaticha. And I can still discern the Cholov on the Chaticha. So to speak, it's sitting on the outer top layer of that Chaticha, which we call the Chaticha Elyona, correct? And if that be the case, then the Tipas Cholov has not yet had the opportunity to penetrate throughout the Chaticha, and the Tam would not be Mispasha yet, and he was able to do a Nir Miyat immediately. That's the Shita of Rashi. The Rashba and many others, but the Rashba is sort of like the kingpin here. He's the leader of the pack. He says that im higis achar shekibla chaticha tam minatipa. He says that what the Sefer the Mishnah is trying to teach us is not that you can take the original tipa and set up a relationship in which we can, like in checkers, you know, you can jump over something. So you can jump over the Chaticha El Yona and get right into the entire Kedera and set up, as Rashi would say, near Miyad, set up a relationship between the Tipa and the entire Kedera. Says Rashi, but no, that's not the subject of our Mishnah. The subject of our Mishnah is that he was near Li'achar Miyad, meaning later on, there was a delay. And since there was a delay, the Mishnah is trying to teach us the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, which means that now the relationship is no longer between the Tipas Cholov and the entire Kedera, but rather between the Chaticha El Yona, which received the Tam of the Tipas Cholov, and the rest and the balance of the Kedera. We're going to try to figure out why Rashi rejects the Rashba's Pshat. So,
I need some clarification. So according to Rashi, Higgis is in the yard. So what does that mean? It means that just the one Chaticha is affected by the Tipas Cholov?
No. That if he successfully was able to beat the system, you know, he rushed and he was makdim and he did a Nir Miyad in such a way that basically what happens is now we view this entire episode as if the Tipa had fallen into the entire Kedera. It had not fallen into one Chaticha. So as the Reisha is focused on isolating the top Chaticha as a separate entity, and since there's not, let's say there's no Shishim in that Chaticha El Yona against the Tipas Cholov, therefore that Chaticha becomes Asura. Now the Mishnah is offering an opportunity in which we could circumvent this whole business. Instead of seeing a relationship between the Tipa and the top Chaticha, which as we said was partially outside of the Rotev, forget about that. I'm going to set up a relationship, says the Mishnah, between the Tipa and the entire Kedera. As if to say that top Chaticha is no different than any Chaticha, as if the Tipa had fallen directly into the Kedera itself. How do I accomplish that goal, says Rashi? That's what the Mishnah is Mechadish with Nir. That if you're able to chaparayim, you know, to lakdim et hamuchar, and immediately what you were able to do is a Nir such a way that you see the Tipas Cholov is still hovering over the top of the Chaticha El Yona. It means it hasn't yet penetrated into the fiber of the Chaticha El Yona, and you were able to do the Nir immediately. Now, forget about the Chaticha El Yona. The Chaticha El Yona is no longer an element in this equation. The relationship now is between the Tipas Cholov and all the Basar, everything that's in the Kedera. Which again could be very good news, it could be very bad news.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Right. It could go either way, but I think in most cases, and again, these are issues that are going to be clarified as we go along, in most situations, it's good news in the sense that there's almost no doubt in our minds that if you're able to be mitzayef, if you can link up everything that's in the kedera into one military army to fight that tipas cholov, you'll definitely have shishim. It's only a tipas cholov. It's a very small volume of milk. Again, it could be a serious volume if I isolate the chaticha elyona. But if he was able to do a near miyad immediately, in such a way that now the tipa, for all intents and purposes, has fallen into the entire kedera, that's good news, because even the original chaticha will become muteres.
So when the Mishnah says near sakedera im yesh ba benos in tam also kedera also, so what does that mean?
That means that there is a ratio of 1 to 59 in the entire kedera, which again is bad news. But it's good news because in most situations, a tipas cholov will be less than 1 to 59. It'll be 1 to 60, 1 to 61, etc.
Okay. So that's now I'm clear on Rashi.
Right. So again, I'm not trying to push the agenda that there's good news or bad news. You know, that's really more of an emotional balbatish approach to the Mishnah. That's not really what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is just saying that we should split the ratio and the seifa between low near miyad and near miyad, in terms of what is the shishim? Where is the nosin tam? Is the shishim against the tipa in the chatich al yona or in the entire kedera? And that's the difference between low near miyad and near miyad. The ratio of low near miyad means that the tipa had a chance, it had the opportunity, you know, the amount of time that was necessary to seep and penetrate throughout that entire chatich al yona. And therefore, there's no shishim in the chatich al yona. The chatich al yona becomes asura. What happens afterwards? That's not the subject of our Mishnah. You know, that could be the subject of Rav and then Efshel Sokto. But if he was near miyad, then the Mishnah wants to tell us that the relationship here is not between the tipa and the chatich al yona, but between the tipa and the entire kedera. Which again might mean that you're going to have to ask the entire kedera and throw it all out because you don't have shishim against that tipas cholov. On the other hand, you might get lucky and there's shishim against the tipas cholov, which I think in most cases there is. And then you can be then everything becomes mutter. Everything becomes mutter. But comes along the Rashba, and he says no. The Rashba, the Mishnah's not talking in the sefer about near miyad. The Mishnah's talking about a case where there was ample time for the tipas cholov to do what it had to do in the chatich al yona. That was the victim of the nefilas atipa. So therefore, the tam cholov penetrated was mispashi throughout that chatich al yona. And now the Mishnah wants to know if he's menayer subsequently. So you had stage one, in which the original top chaticha became asura. Stage two, you now set up a relationship between that chaticha and the rest of the kedera through what? Through an act of near, not near miyad, but near liachar shenis pashet. Now we apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevel. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That the original chaticha, the chaticha liyona, became nevela, became a cheftedi sura, which means that now I have to be mevatel the chaticha. I can no longer be mevatel the tipas chol. Then there's a third school of thought, which is headed up by the Ravid. And he says that we don't accept the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. There is such a shita in the Gemara, but we don't accept that la'alocha. And what is the sefer about nira sakedera? And that is that the status of the kedera, meaning all the contents of the kedera, is going to depend upon shishim against the tipas cholov. Not the way we said in the Rashba, that once he does near, we have to worry about shishim against the chaticha, but rather, all we have to worry about is shishim against the tipas cholov. I mean, that's a tremendous kula, because we're neutralizing the principle of chaticha nasis nevela.
Amazing that you have in this sefer the Mishnah, you have three different shitas as to how to understand it.
Right.
Not a
it's very fertile ground here in this Mishnah. Now, the Moreshes Moshe has a long discussion which is mostly based on Rishonim, but it's also to some extent based on the Tzlach, the Noda B'Yehuda, which is an Achron, obviously, as to why Rashi and all those who accepted Rashi rejected the Rashba. And one approach is going to be the following, that Rashi's hands are tied. He cannot accept this interpretation of our Mishnah, the Sefer of our Mishnah, of the Rashba. Why? Because the Rashba is assuming that if the top chaticha was infiltrated, was contaminated, and it became the Vela, now we have to ask ourselves, after the Niyar, the subsequent Niyar, not the immediate Niyar of Rashi, but the subsequent Niyar, what is the relationship, in terms of Nesinas Tam and Shishim and so forth, between that Chaticha and the other Chatichas? So we're going to find out if there are 60 to 1, and we can apply the Din of Bittel, because there's no Nesinas Tam. Rashi could not possibly accept that, because Rashi is committed to Paskin La'alocha, and this is the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino lo bato. So there's no way that you can even talk about Nesinas Tam. Why? Because there are other Chatichas of Basar in the Kedera, and if the original Chaticha became the Vela, and then you did Niyar, you've got a serious problem here. There's no way that Nesinas Tam or the absence thereof is going to help you, because min b'mino afilu b'elef lo bato. So the Rashba is free to accept his pshat because he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He also min b'mino is batel. But Rashi could not possibly accept that, because how could the Mishnah make it dependent upon the Nesinas Tam in the case of Niyar? Once the original Chaticha became a Nevela, it becomes a Tarovus of min b'mino. Min b'mino is afilu b'elef lo batel. That's point number one. Now point number two is the Chassam Sofer and the Tzlach, and also again it's based on Iran, that even if I don't accept the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mino lo batel, I still have a problem with the Rashba. Why? And this is where Rashi disagrees with the Rashba. Rashi holds that you don't need Niyar. What does that mean? That if our Mishnah reflects the view, which is again a gigantic machlokas in Tanoim, that Chaticha Nasis Nevela, then even without Niyar, we're going to assume that that Chaticha generates an Isur in all the other Chatichas. I don't need Niyar for that. Now again, I'm going to give you sort of an easy way of remembering this, but again, it's a little dangerous because I don't think that this is the compelling logic of Rashi, but at least it's a mnemonic device. Rashi holds that half the Chaticha is submerged, the bottom half of the Chaticha, in the Kedera, below the Rotev. So that Rashi doesn't need Niyar over here. If you're holding Chaticha Nasis Nevela, then you could never get rid of that tam of the Tipas Cholov in the rest of the Kedera. Why? Because of a principle called Efshel Sokto Asur. Efshel Sokto Asur means that if you have a small, I'm calling it a small volume of Isur that fell into Heter, but there was no Shishim, then even if you would go ahead, which you're not allowed to do this because Ein Levat L'Nisa L'Chatchil, but let's say you would, or a non-Jew, or it fell, whatever it is, into another Kedera, you would never be able to be Matir through all the Bittul of the world. Would not help you to be Matir the original Chaticha that received the Tam of Isur on it. So that if the Rashba is accepting Chaticha Nasis Nevela,
because Chaticha Nasis Nevela.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Chaticha Nasis Nevela, but you have to add on what's called Efshel Soto Asur. What it means, Chaticha, if I want to express and transmit the idea that Chaticha Nasis Nevela is final meaning there's no reversal, there's no retracting, I add the words Efshel Soto Asur, which means that even if I take that chaticha, which was also because of a blia of X meaning a volume of Isa, let's say, if I take that X, whatever that volume was, even though I cook it now in a second kedera, I can never get rid of that time. So once the Rashba, according to Rashi, is involved in a contradiction in terms, there's no way you can accept A plus B because they're mutually exclusive. A is that the Rashba in the Sefer is applying the principle of Chatich Nasa Deveilu, therefore he needs Shishim Chatichas against the original Chatich in the case of Nir. And at the same time, the Rashba is going to tell us that if there's no Nesinas Tam in the other Chatichos, then everything becomes mutter, the entire tarobis. Rashi can't accept that, because once you assume that chaticha nas nevela, then we apply the principle of efshel soto also, which means that I can never be matter, it's irretractable. Even if that original chaticha falls into another tarobis, there's no way, no how that I can be matter.
So this one chaticha is also from beginning to end, right?
No reversal on that chaticha, which is against the Rashi, because the Rashi is telling us that the Sefer through Nir is going to be matir if there is Shishim, even the original chaticha. And Rashi can't accept that. So I'll just read to you the key words here that Chassam Sofer says, the Sfirle, Dilamandi Omer Efshel Soto Osra Chaticha Oseres Eshar Chatichos Afiu Belom Nir. No, it's irrelevant to Nir. Why? Because if it's all together in one mixture, and let's assume there's a fire, you know, that's burning underneath the pot, then forget about Nir. You're already applying the principle of chaticha nas nevela. Well, once I apply the principle of chaticha nas nevela, then efshel soto also. So everything becomes also. And apparently, he has a diuk from Rashi. Rashi says dibra maschil im, right, which is the second Rashi. So see if you can follow this. Yeah, he says hodis nand b'masnisen. You'll see. Just one second now, I'm not finding it.
Second Rashi in the Mishnah, in Ishba at the same time?
No, I made a mistake. Ubishar, just one second. What does he say? Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's in the middle of the Rashi, the second Rashi in the Mishnah. He says, Ubishar chatichos dekidera. Again, this is in the Resha. Lo airi tana demasnisen, meaning that if you hold efshel soto asur, then the other chatichos would become asuros, even without nir, even in the Resha without nir. And Rashi seems to give you that indication later on in the Dibra Maschel Omar Rav, which you'll see at the beginning the end of the second set of skinny lines, if you know what I mean. Not the widest lines, but almost at the widest lines. Rashi says, Hodus Nabu Masnis, and then he says, Oseres says, Kola Chatichos. You see that? It's the first of the wide lines of Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
That if the original chaticha becomes asura, then he atzma osera says kola chatichos, and Rashi has mentioned nir. So it sounds like Rashi's holding that even without nir, once you hold efshel soto asur, then chaticha nas nevela means that the entire kedera becomes asura. And again, what we have to analyze here, which is that would be a project, is would this whole machlokas that we're presenting in terms of how to understand the Seif of Nir, would it have something to do with the machlokas Rashi and Tosus about the situation of the Chatich Elyon? You know, if Rashi is bothered by the fact that even without Nir, once you hold Chatich and Asa the veil of the entire Kedir becomes Asura, then it could be that's Rashi l'shitasa, that the chaticha is partially submerged in the rotev. Whereas Tosas holds that the chatichas elyon is completely outside the rotev. So therefore you need near. And then hence the Rashba insists that the sefer of near. Now again, Rashi's language here is higis ba miyad.
Yes.
That's how he interprets near, which is the third Rashi in the Mishnah.
Yeah, I see.
And Rashi emphasizes kodem
shekibla chaticha tam.
Right, kodem shekibla. Where is it? Kodem shekibla chaticha tam min hatipa. Okay. Now here we have a machlokes amongst the poskim, and I think when the Moreshes Moshe uses the word poskim, he means achronim. The achronim want to know if there's another alternative method of saving the kedera, which would be lahotzi miyad es hachaticha asur. In other words, Rashi is learning that the Mishnah in the Seif is offering a possible method of let's say being matir the kedera, and that's called near miyad. The Achronim want to know: is that the only alternative? Is there another possibility? And that is to remove the chaticha. You don't have to be menar the chaticha, but if you remove the chaticha, an entire school of Achronim, Chamudei Daniel, Pischei Tshuva, or Chashulchan, you can go on and on with the names here. They hold Mahani. Meaning we can be matir the rest of the kedera, nami, al yidei hotzah sachaticha miyat. If I can remove the chaticha, just pull it out, yank it out of the kedera immediately, mali near miyat, mali silek miyat. What difference to make if he mixes it in immediately? So now the tipa is going to be batel in the shishim, let's assume there's shishim in the kedera, or if he removes the chaticha before the tipas chalav got had the opportunity to do its damage. The second school of thought, which is headed by the Prima Gadim, says no, taking the chaticha out, lo mahani lahasir chaticha asur miyad. That's the Prima Gadim, the Pritar, and a whole list of achronim. And I'm not exactly sure why hotzah sachaticha shouldn't be as effective as near. All I can tell you is that those achronim who equate siluk hachaticha with near, they want to bring a raya from the Mishnah itself. Not sure exactly. I'll just read to you what he says. He's very, very abridged here. Unfortunately, I don't have the original. But he says, "Achirim dochu es haraya mimasnisim." But he doesn't spell out exactly what the raya is, unless I'm missing it here. Dadayin lo nivla atipa v'chaticha le'inyin shelo yoyel lo hanir shetispashit b'chal akdera. In other words, when the Mishnah says, according to Rashi, that immediately he was menayer the kedera, he was menayer the kedera, it means that the tipas cholav was not yet bolua, meaning it didn't infiltrate and penetrate into the chaticha, to the point to which near would not be meaningful. But the Mishnah is not talking about the question of siluk. Okay, let's leave that for the time being. Again, we should just be aware of the fact that there is an issue here. There is an issue here. So this is an issue whether siluk is just as good as Nir in Rashi's frame of reference. Now, Rashi says, as we saw before, Ubesharach Atichos, and Rashi points out that the Gemara Pligi Boim Choseres Osa Chaticha Vosrosan Olo. So here's a point of the Tzlach. He says that the Machlokis in the Gemara about whether this Chaticha generates an Isra on the other Chatichos is not only relevant to the other Chatichos, but it's also relevant to that Chaticha itself. Right? Because the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth about Efshel Sokto, also Efshel Sokto Mutter, but if you hold Efshel Sokto Mutter, for example, then it means that the original Chaticha is Asura, because what you basically do is you, so to speak, squeeze out that original Tipa of Cholov from the first Chaticha, or in the case of Isur, you take out the Isur that was Bolua and you get rid of it. So the original Chaticha now, so to speak, retroactively, I don't mean that literally, becomes Muteres.
That's Efshel Sokto Mutter.
That's Efshel Sokto Mutter. So why does Rashi say, Ubegemara Pligiba im Choseres Osa Chaticha Vyosrasan? Which strongly implies that the Gemara is going to present a machlokas as to whether or not the original Chaticha generates an Isur in the other Chatichos, as if to imply that as far as the first Chaticha is concerned, that's farfalhan, that's a gone, that's a done deal, that's irreversible. When the Gemara really is facing a much more fundamental question as to whether or not we can get rid of that original tipa of Cholov or tipa Isur. So the Tzlach offers the following answer. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Moshe. I wasn't sure if you were old and young to benefit. What?
Made in on time.
No, because I'm thinking, even if you have yontif, maybe you came by foot, I don't know. But then you're holding a phone, so I know that's a little incriminating for yontif Shady.
I made Aliyah.
You're here. Okay, good.
I'm lost.
Not yontif.
Are you still Shliach Tzibur, or you're
no. That?
No, you're finished with that.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to just read the Tzlach here, and then I'll clue you in. So Tzlach says the following. Nidigduk Berashi, he's being medayik in the Lashon Rashi, Shlo Hizkir Nior, because Rashi again is making his comment on the Reisha before we get to Nior. Svir Leila Halacha, the Gam below Nior, Oseres HaChaticha Es Shara Chatichos. If you recall, we said before that the reason why, or at least one of the reasons why Rashi rejects the Rashba's pshat in the Sefer, is because Rashi holds you don't even have to wait for Nior in order to generate an Isur in the other Chatichos, which may be Rashi Lashitos in the half the Chatichos in the Rota, but leaving that out. So he says the following, that if this be the case, Hosef Hatzlach Lochiach came Idiri Rashi Lekamon, Vyasi Shapit the Kadela Hatios Hachaticha Tsorech Lenara. Right? If you hold, for example, Efshel Sokto Mutter, which means that you're going to be Mati, the original Chaticha that received the Tipok, he says that's only feasible through Nior. And Rashi's learning the Reish of that Mishnah where there was no Nior. So again, if there's no Nior, then the machlokis is going to be whether or not the other chatichos become asuros by virtue of the fact that the top chaticha is asura, right? So there's no shishim in the top chaticha. We call it the chaticha leon against the tipas cholov, and therefore that chaticha became asura. And now we're going to have machlokis. What's the status of the shar chatichos, of the balance of the kedera? But no one is going to go so far as to be matir the original chaticha, and the reason for that is because there was no nir. I'm just going to say this over in Balabatish terms again. This is like if I was creating a pictorial comic book, so to speak. Nir means I take something again. I just want to apologize. You shouldn't take me literally on this, but I'm just giving you a picture of it. Nir means I shake out that tam balua or that tipas cholov that's nivla. And that's the only way that Efshel Sokto could go as far as to be mati the original chaticha. So it comes out now, according to the other view, there are two Efshel Esochto Mutters. There's Efshel Esochto Mutter without Nir, which means that we can be mati the other Chatichos Basar if they have Shishim against the original Tipas Cholov. I don't need Shishim against the Chaticha, because we're not holding Chanan, Chaticha Nas Nevelu. And then there's a more far-reaching Efshel Esochto Mutter where he does a Nir. And when he does a Nir, he actually shakes out the Tipas Cholov, so to speak. Again, don't take me literally, but he squeezes the Tipas Cholov out of the original Chaticha. And then Efshel Esochto goes even a step further, and we can be matir even the original Chaticha. So again, just to point out, the Tzlach is medayik from Rashi's Lashon, that Rashi says that the Gemara Pligi Ba im Choseres Osa Chaticha Voseres Eshara Chatichos, Rashi seems to be limiting the discussion of Efshel Esochto Mutar Osa to the Shara Chatichos, implying that the original Chaticha is still Asura, even if you hold Efshel Esochto Asura. Says the Tzlach, the reason for that is because Rashi is making his comment in the Reisha. And the Reisha of Emesh is before Nir. And it's before Nir, even if I hold Efshel Esochto Mutar, that's only to create a relationship between the Tipas Cholov and the rest of the Kedera, to be matir all the Chatichas in the Kedera. But as far as the original Chatich is concerned, even if I hold Efshel Esochto Asur, that's only if you do a Maisa Schita, so to speak. And what's the Maisa Schita?
Nir.
And since Rashi's talking about the Reisha of Emesh, where there's no Nir, then once we get to the Sefer of the Mishnah, where there was Nir, so then if you take the Rashba's approach, which is not Rashi, that Nir means liachazman, not miyan, so it means there was enough time for the tipa to be mispashin in the tap chaticha and prohibit the chaticha liona midin chanan, then Efshel Esochto through Nir is going to go even as far as to be mati the original chaticha. Again, that's not Rashi, because Rashi doesn't have that pshat in the Mishnah. Rashi holds that Nir, and that Mishnah is referring to Nir miyad. And if it's Nir miyad, then the tipas cholov never settled down in the chaticha liyona, right? We say with the Aruch HaShulchan that you can still see the tipa hovering on top of the chaticha, etc., etc. So if you were able to do it miyad this Nir, that's a whole different discussion. That's not a discussion about Efshel Esochto. That's a discussion about setting up a relationship, again, as we said before, not between the tipa cholov and the chaticha liyona, isolating it, but rather between the tipa cholov and the entire kedera. So there we're going to be mati the chaticha liyona, simply because the chaticha liyona has the same identical status as the rest of the kedera, because he was near miyad. But if you all like the Rashba, that he wasn't minar miyad, so there was enough time for the tipas cholov and it's time to settle down in the top chaticha, and therefore we apply the principle of chanan. Now if you hold Efshel Esochto Mutar, then the near itself has the power to be mater even the original chaticha, because that's a schita in which you literally or figuratively squeeze out the tipas cholov from the top chaticha.
So just that tipa against the whole kedera.
According to the Rashba, the Rashba is learning that since according to Rashi, Rashi's learning that Nir and our Sefer was near miyad, and now we have a relationship between the tipa and the entire kedera. Right. There's no special status. You don't single out the top chaticha, because even before the tipas cholov got a chance to contaminate the top chaticha, it fell into the entire kedera. It was mispashit throughout the entire kedera. That's near miyad.
And the Rashba, if you're not near miyad, what would the Rashba say?
Yeah. So Rashba says that now that the Tam settled down in the Tam Chaticha,
then you have to shishim against the Chaticha.
Correct, the entire Chaticha. And the Rashba holds that the same as being a Chadish Chaticha Nasus.
So according to the Rashba, then would that Chaticha be also, if even if you had shishim against that Chaticha, would that particular Chaticha be also because it's a barrier of Atzma?
I think you're right. We didn't get to that point yet. No, that still remains to be seen. Okay. Now, just to complete our chazara so that we can start the new sugya today, there's the sugya of Abai. So let's go over what we know about Abai. Abai wants to derive from our Mishnah a principle called Tam Ki Ikar Dorais. And he says the following. The Mishnah clearly explicitly tells us that whether or not the chaticha liyona is asura depends upon tam, whether it's nesinas tam. What that means is that the tam of the cholov goes into the basar, And now the basar has a tam of both milk and meat in it. And that itself is asur. Now you could argue that maybe our Mishnah is talking about some sort of rabbinic, you know, gzera, but the assumption of Abaye is, and we'll try to explain why, that our Mishnah is not talking about a gzera d'rabbanan, but rather about a din d'oraisa. And our Mishnah is setting up the parameters for a basar b'chalav of d'oraisa. And the reason why the Torah prohibits basar b'chalav is because there's a tam of chalav in the basar. So our Mishnah is saying the following. It's not enough that you just simply cook milk and meat together. That doesn't automatically make it into basar b'chalav. You need that the tam of the chalav penetrate into the basar. Hence you see the tam ki'ikar. Now, as we pointed out many times, tam kikar means that even if I remove the isur from the taroves, what's left in the taroves, because of the heating and the cooking process, is the tam of the isur. And the Torah prohibits the tam of the isur. Now, many of the mefarshim are up in arms over here. They don't understand exactly what Abai's logic is, because the case of our Mishnah is not identical with Tam Ki'ikar, the classic Tam Ki'ikar, because classic Tam Ki'ikar means, as we said before, we remove the Isur from the Tarovas and you're left with Tam. Here the Cholav is still inside the Basar, so it's not really a case of Tam Ki'ikar. So let's leave that question on the side for a moment. Now, Abaye himself raises an objection and rejects it, meaning, here's a case where, you know, somebody presents a thesis, namely, in this case, Abai says, Tam Kika Doraisa, and then he says, but if you'll tell me, and what he counters is that maybe Bas Mechalov is a chidush Torah, that there's something very unique about Bas Mechalov, and therefore the parameters of Bas Mechalov are unique in the sense that you can't, and you cannot derive any universal conclusions from Bas Mechalov. So we mentioned that there are a number of different opinions, Rashi, Tosis, and other Rishonim, as to what this concept of Chiddush is, and why Abai raised this Havamina that we cannot derive any conclusions about Tam Ki'ikar from Basar B'chalav, because Basar B'chalav is a Chiddush. What exactly is that Chiddush? So for example, Rashi is going to learn that Zeheter B'fnei Atzmo, and Tosis is going to learn that the Chiddush is that it's only also Derech Bishul. Every Rishon is going to come up with a different twist, and we'll have a whole bunch of Shitos as to what the Havamin is that Bas Mechalav is a Chiddush. Now, Rava says that you cannot derive Tam Ki'ikar from Bas Mechalav, because Tam Ki'ikar really depends upon Bittul, which means that if you have a Tam Isur that's mixed up with Heter, is there bittul or is there no bittul? And that's going to determine whether we hold tam ki'ikar or not. In the case of basar b'chalav, according to Rava, the issue is not bittul. That's not what the Mishnah means when it says in Yesh Babino Saint Tam. In other words, Rava's accusing Abai of jumping the gun. Abai saw the Lashon HaMishnah that says in Yesh Babino Saint Tam, and he understood that we're operating within the realm of bittul. So for example, if Isur falls into Heter, even if I remove the Isur, I have Tam Isur in the Tarovas. And now the question is it bottle or is it not? We talk about ratios. Comes along Rav and he says, that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is not talking about whether there's Bittul or no Bittul. In fact, our Mishnah holds that maybe there is no Bittul as far as Basar B'chalav is concerned. So what does it mean if Yesh Batam, Mein Batam? Why does Tam determine whether it's Asur? Says Rava, because of the principle called Derech Bishul Asur Torah. The Torah never said that there's an Iser of Achilas Basar B'chalav, that there's some sort of Cheftzid Isur of Basar B'chalav. No, that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says you're not allowed to cook Basar B'chalav. And if as a result of the cooking process you have Basar B'chalav, that's Asur. But the Bishul is absolutely critical. That's a precondition in Basar B'chalav, which we don't find in any other Isur. Says Rava, well, what does the Mishnah mean by no saying Tam? The Mishnah is trying to set up a barometer and evaluate, well, is this Bishul or is it not Bishul? And we have a principle in Kolator Kula that when the Torah speaks about a certain action, you have to, and the Torah prohibits that action, you have to do it in the way that it's normally done. So Rava says that normally when you do bishul, why would you add chalav into basar? Just for the fun of it? In order to give the time of the chalav in the basar. It's like, you know, you go to Dunkin', you get a cheeseburger, right? Or whatever the companies are. So the cheese gives the time into the basar. I mean, I never tasted it, but I suppose it must enhance the time. Otherwise, why are they making millions, right? So if the whole purpose of the bishul is to add ingredients which will enhance the time of the tavshil, well, what happens if you added such a small volume of chalav that it doesn't impact at all on the time of the bus? You give it to a kfeila and he doesn't taste any milk in the meat. You know, he can't tell the difference between two pieces of meat, one that had the tipas chalav and one that didn't. Then that's not called derech bishul. And therefore, Rava says you can't derive any conclusions from basar b'chalav and from the Mishnah that says that it depends upon the nesinas tam. Because the Mishnah is setting up parameters to define bishul. And in basar b'chalav, bishul is a precondition to the isur. Now, this chiddush of Rava could have tremendous implications as far as a principle which is accepted by one school of Rishonim, which is called Ein Bittul Beheter Beheter. And this is based on the case of Kelayim. So let's say, for example, Chutneys, if you mix Semer and Pishtun, then it matters not how much Semer is in the mixture or how much Pishtun is in the mixture. One thread of Semer in a Beged Shel Pishtun, or vice versa, one thread of Pishtun in a Beged Shel Tzemer is enough to generate the Iser of Kelayim Bgadim. So the question is, what happened to Bittul? So you could have one thread of Tzemer and it's connected 100 threads of linen. So the answer is, according to that school of thought, that heter beheter lo batel, that the din of bittul only operates when you have a hisnagdus, you have some sort of opposition, you have two elements, one is heter, one is iser, and they're fighting with each other. So the iser fights against the heter, and the heter against the iser. That's called bittul. But in the case of heter beheter lo batel, and your paradigm case is kilai begodim. If you apply the same logic to basar b'chalav, because zeh heter b'fnei atzmo, then there's no such thing as bittul. So once again, if there's no din of bittul, so half of Masechta Chulin goes down the tube, starting with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says everything depends upon the Nesinas Tam. The answer is Rav. Derech Bishul Asr Torah. Then this halacha that in Yeshma Nesinas Tam Asr, Eimba Nesinas Tam Mutar, has nothing to do with bittul. It operates on a different plane, based on a different principle, and that is bishul, that the Torah only prohibits basar b'chalav when it's a product of bishul. And what constitutes bishul? Bishul is a result of nesinas tam. If there's no nesinas tam, that's not called derech bishul. Now, as far as tzli is concerned, I just want to mention here: the Moreshes Moshe gives you an overview of other forms of cooking that are not really cooking. One is roasting. So, in the case of roasting, there's no medium of a liquid; it's only a solid. So what would be if, for example, he roasted cheese and meat, you know, in a rotisserie together?
How are you ever going to get it? It's always going to be a liquid. You're always going to, once you have heat, you're going to change it into liquid. Fats.
But maybe immediately, if you take it off immediately, so it's only tzli. So nechluku bazar rishonim. So if you're familiar with the Moreshes Moshe, he gives you like all the rishonim here. So he starts with the Meiri, who says that atzole basar b'chalav o she'ochel basar she'nitzla b'chalav, so either he does the act of tzliya or he eats the product of the tzliya, ain't ol chayav malchus. In other words, whereas bishul generates malchus because of the violation of an iser, whether it's bishul or it's the achila, if he does both it gets two sets of malchus. In the case of tzliya, there's no malchus. It's not only the Meiri. The Ran says the same thing, and there's no such thing as basar b'chalav b'tzli. Again, it's all on a deraisa level, obviously. And the Rani adds another point, which I'm not sure I understand, but let me just throw it out there. And the Ran says that there may be a difference between basar b'chalav and other isurim as far as tzli is concerned. So for example, he says, if you would take nevela and roast it together with basar shchuta, then there's no possibility of applying the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. Now, even though chaticha nas nevela is accepted la halacha according to the Ran, again, that's going to be a gigantic machlokes rishonim, but the Ran belongs to that school of thought that chaticha nas nevela is la halacha. However, that only applies in the case of bishul, but not in the case of tzli. And he says the reason for that is because chaticha nas nevela is going to be applied in other isurim only dumya de basa b'cholov. Meaning, the paradigm of chaticha nasis nevela is basa b'cholov. To apply that principle to other isurim is a tremendous chiddush. It's a revolution. It doesn't make sense. Meaning, a basa b'cholov, I understand. If you have the tam of the basar in the cholov or vice versa, then you've got an entity called basar b'chalav. So that's chanan, you know, that I understand. But in the case where I cook basar nevela with basar shchuta, in the worst case scenario, you could tell me that there's a tam of basar nevela in the basar shchuta, but to say that now I have a new entity that's asur, every single fiber of the basar shchuta is asur. So he says that even if we do apply chanan to shari surim, that's only in the case of bishul, because somehow basar b'cholov is going to impact, again, I don't know if this is a doraisa or a drabon halacha, on shari surim. But if it's not dumya de basar b'cholov, meaning you didn't do bishul, you won't do tzli, then for sure all you need is what he calls kedei klipa. You have to take off a certain layer where the contact of the nevela and the shkuta took place, but there's no din of chaticha nasis nevela. And the reason for that is because the Torah only applies chaticha nasis nevela in that paradigmic case of basar b'chol, which is there of bishul asur Torah, but tzli is not considered bishul. So that's one school of thought, that bishul is bishul and tzli is some separate entity. However, apparently the Yerushalmi vacillates on this point. Now the Yerushalmi, is quoted by the Pri Chadosh, does not address tzli. It addresses a different case which is called me'ushan. So he has both basar b'cholov that are smoking together, right? There's a heating process, and the vapors of the heat are somehow creating a quasi bishul. I was told, I don't know, maybe gentlemen, you know better than me, that when they can tuna fish, it's actually raw tuna fish, but what they do is they run it through a steaming process. Like they're boiling tremendous vats of water that, you know, beyond that comprehension, and then the vapors, and then the machines will run the canned tuna fish through these vapors, and that's how the tuna gets cooked. I don't know, that's what I was told. Check it out in Mr. Google. In any event, so there is such a thing as Mu'ushan, and perhaps Mu'ushan will achieve the ultimate goal of Bishul because of the heat. But the Yerushalmi vacillates back and forth as to whether or not Bishul can be achieved by Me'ushan, and whether Me'ushan would be a violation of Basar B'cholov. So the Pri Chodesh says that why didn't the Yerushalmi raise the question about Sli? Why was the Yerushalmi limited to vacillating back and forth about the status of Me'ushan? Comes along to Pri Chodesh and he says the following, that it was pshita, it wasn't even an issue in the mind of the Yerushalmi that Sli is considered like Bishul. You know, Sli is much more profound and much more of a direct connection between the two elements that are being roasted together than in the case of Me'ushan. Me'ushan means you have like a foreign element here of vapors that are hot and that could cook them together, but Sli is much more profound. It's much more closely aligned with Bishul. So why didn't the Yerushalmi vacillate on the issue of Sli? And that would have been a greater chiddush to tell me that maybe even Sli is not considered Bishul. Apparently the Yerushalmi held that Sli is Bishul, And when you go to a lower level, which is far removed from Bishul, namely Ma'ushan, that's where the Yerushalmi vacillates back and forth. Because in the case of Ma'ushan, you don't even have any sort of Tzuras Bishul. You only have an Asinas Tam. And that maybe that's not called Bishul, but on the other hand, maybe it is Bishul, because there is an Asinas Tam, and the end result is the same. Now, in addition to the Pre-Chadash, we have the Dibri Chamudos, and he has a similar diuk in the Rambam, because apparently the Rambam also vacillates about Ma'usha, but doesn't say a word about Sli. And Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, in his Chidushim here in Masechet Chulin, is medayik the same diuk in Rashi, on Daf Kuf Tesam in Beis. We didn't see the Rashi. And it seems like there's a whole school of thought that Sli, in the case of Basa B'Cholov, is Doraisa. And it's a Chiv Malkus. Not like the Meiri that we mentioned at the outset, who says that in the case of Sli, that's not considered Derech Bishul Asur Torah. In effect, I think what we're seeing here is two schools of thought as to how to interpret Agmar of Rava Derech Bishul Asur Torah. Should we take Rava in the most strict literal sense, applying Derech Bishul Asur Torah only to Atzuras Bishul and anything less than Bishul, even if the distinction is so subtle, like Tzli, which is so close to Bishul, but it's not called Derech Bishul? Or do we say no? Derech Bishul is a more generic kind of concept that will allow for many, many different methods of cooking, including roasting, and maybe even smoking in the case of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi vacillates back and forth. That's as far as the Moreshes Moshe is concerned. Now let's see if we can at least... it's getting late. So, you know what? Instead of going through Rav, which will be our subject for tomorrow, what I'd like to do is summarize the Rishonim very quickly on Chidush. Okay, so let's read the Gemara. The Gemara Omer Abaye, Tamo v'lo mamash bi'almado raisa. De'is al kedaitach dirabonon, mi'basa b'cholot my time alo gamrina. If you're going to tell me that Tam ki ikar, that when you remove the Isar from the Tarovus and you're left with the Tama Isar, that's only a dirabonon, why not derive from basa b'cholot, which the Mishnah establishes is also the derisa b'nesinas Tam? And in this context, Abai is equating, you know, removing the Isar with the absence of the Cholov. When I say the absence of the Cholov, I mean to say that this Tipas Cholov completely disappears in the cooking process here. The Tipas Cholov Shenofla Ala Chaticha, it's equivalent, and all you're left with is not really the Cholov. You know, there's no mamash that's left to the Cholov, you're left with the Tam Cholov. But if you're going to say that let's not derive any conclusions from Basa B'chol, my time alo gamrin de chidushu, so then, according to Abaye, if you're going to say that there's a chidush here, we'll see what that means, then afagav de leke no sein tam nami, then we should go as far as to say is even if there is no tam in the cholov, then Basa B'chol we have a mixture here of Basa B'chol. So what was this concept of Chidush? So first we'll start with Rashi. Rashi holds that the entire din of Basa B'Cholov, the Isur Basa B'Cholov, is a Chidush, because Shneem, meaning the Basa and the Cholov, min Heter, each one is mutur, shen is bashlu biyachad nesru. We don't find that in any other isur, that somehow a pu'ulas bishul creates an isur. Either the isur exists or it doesn't exist. But here he's saying that it comes into existence. It's the status of isur is generated by the bishul. So that's Rashi dibra maskil my taima, which you'll see in the first of the wide lines, meaning the middle-sized wide lines. But then if you take a look for a moment in Tosis Divar Masel de Chidushu, after quoting Rashi, he says that Rashi is going to have a problem with the sugyan psachim, because the Sugim Psachim holds that the chidush in basa b'cholov is that even though they're both heter, basa and the cholov, and they became osos, the Gemara says that can't be, because how can you classify basa b'cholov as a chidush when the precedent, the let's say the archetype case of heter v'heter that became iser is kelayim. Kelayim itself is a tarovus of two minim of heter, of tzemer u'pishtan. So we're not going to say that basa b'cholov is a chidush. We already have precedence over here. And the Gemara Psachim therefore rejects this concept that basa b'cholov is a chidush, because we have this chidush already anticipated in Kelayim. So the maskana of the Gemara in Psachim is that what happens if you do shriya, which is called kavush, meaning you take meat and you soak it in meat. So, I'm sorry, you take milk and you soak meat in the milk, let's say for 24 full hours. So the law is that for sure is not also doraisa. This is much more far removed than Bishul, than even the case of Ma'ushan, which the Yerushalmi vacillated about, if you remember. This is called Kovash Areyu Kimavushal, but it's certainly not Bishul. And there's no Isa Doraisa here, the Basar B'cholov, even if the Basar soaks in the milk for 24 hours. And yet, although there's Nesinas Tam, for sure Kovash Kimavushal means that there's a Nesinas Tam of the Basar and the Cholov and the Basar, it still remains mutter on a Doraisa level, despite the fact that had he cooked it, it would become awesome. That's the Chidush. And therefore, as far as the Nesinas Tam is concerned, although Kovush gives Tam, there's a Gzeiras HaKosef here, that in Basa B'cholov, it's not awesome unless it's through Bishul. Okay, so those are the two interpretations that we have. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'od, right, this is the third of the wide lines in the middle sized wide line. V'od, Shader Bishul Nesra, Bela Achila. So this is a third shot, that the Chiddush of Basa B'cholov is that even if you don't eat the Tarovus, you violate a Lav D'Orais, you get Makas for the Bishul itself, meaning you created Basa B'cholov, and that itself is a violation of the East. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here. And Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we hopefully will be able to begin the sugya of Rav. That's what I'm hoping. Amen.